Love Talk Radio.
The day since you've been gone, it was just like a dream. I still can't feel it now. I'm still in disbelief. I know you won't come back. I know somehow you're here. I tried to settle down, not in my life in peace. You make me wanna live. You make me wanna try. You make me believe. You make me fly.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys, and I want to thank you so much for waking up on this Saturday morning. It's beautiful here in Philadelphia. I mean, bright and sunshiny after so much snow and rain. I am feeling very blessed today. I want to let you know we have some wonderful guests on the call this morning, Sweet Honey and The Rock. I can't say how much I'm in love with this group, how many friends I've tried to introduce to the group, how many songs. I don't know which one is the favorite, you know, Wade in the Water or Stay or the children's songs that they do. They've been to the White House. They've been to Europe. They've been to Africa. They've participated in V-Day. They all have their own individual lives and accomplishments as well. And we're going to talk about some of that today. Thank you so much, ladies, for joining the call. Right now we have Carol Mallard, Louise Robinson, and Aisha Khalil on the call. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
Uh-oh, I think we got
great.
I want to start off, Carol, you've been with the group, Carol and Louise, you've been with the group for a long time. What gave you the idea to start the group, Carol?
Oh, that was Louise.
Louise, okay.
It's all her fault.
It's all her fault? back in Washington, D.C.? Back in Washington? Louise, you want to talk about that a little
bit? Actually, a friend of mine, a man, called me up to say let's start a group. And I said, okay. We were all members of the D.C. Black Repertory Company at that time, and we were actors in the company.
Yes.
And so at the time, Bernice Johnson Reagan was a vocal director for the workshop and for the actors. And we asked her to help us out with the group, and we formed the group with a lot of the actors in the company and the people who were in the workshops.
Yeah,
the theater, and it went on and on and on, and you know, each rehearsal, it seemed like the group was getting smaller and smaller and smaller until one day there were four women left sitting there, and we thought we would, you know, we figured it wouldn't work, and I said, why don't we just keep going? Why don't we just?
So it is your fault that they kept going.
Yeah.
So we started singing. We just, the four of us just started singing songs, and we felt like we had a sound. We liked the sound.
Oh, you definitely have a sound. You definitely have a sound. You guys started your first show in 1973. Your first recording was in 1976?
Yes.
So, Carol, how did it feel to do the first recording? I mean, were you like floating on cloud nine at the time, or?
I can't say that I remember any clouds or floating. But,
okay.
But I do remember that I felt like we had something very unique and special within the group, within the sound that we had. And also what I thought was really special was that we had a piano and we had a trio. And I played violin on the recording, and there were some instruments on the first recording. And I find it interesting, a lot of times people don't make note of that.
Diana Ruth Warren
was a member. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used to sing her songs, and she was a member of the group at the time. And we performed sometimes with piano. We did a whole show once where part of the two shows, actually, where part of the shows were with piano, singing her songs and her accompanying us on some other tunes.
Mm. Let me tell some people a little bit about Aisha. You have your own band, Micah. And the whole world band. And in the annual Battle of the Bands contest, sponsored by Discmakers, it was a winner in the International Songwriting Competition. Do you want to talk about that a little bit there?
One of the songs, actually, that I wrote came in second place in the performance category. for the ISC International Songwriting Competition. So I was also happy about that. And my band, Whole World Band, actually did come. We were actually a runner-up in the Annual Dishmakers Battle of the Bands.
Right. The song was called The Jewel Light.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. I just want to tell the audience, well, I'm getting a lot of love for you guys from the chat room. They love your music. They think you're phenomenal. They just want to say thank you so much.
Yes,
thank
you, Joy.
No problem. Thank you guys for, again, joining the call. And if you're just joining the call and listening, this is Sweet Honey and the Rock. They were founded in 1973 through the D.C. Black Repertory Theater. They have toured in Africa and Europe and Asia. They have been active in many political, ideologies in terms of battling racism, battling sexism. But they also deal with children and empowering children. And one of their wonderful songs is In the Middle of the Night, and I want to let you guys hear that.
You wrap your arms around me. My heart is in your safety. You tell me everything will be fine. I'm so happy that you're mine. In the middle of the night, I hear those monsters under my bed. I call out your name. You come running to me.
That is so beautiful. I mean, it's a children's song, and they're talking about, you know, in the middle of the night, you get scared, and your mom or your dad or your aunt or your uncle come. Tell me about that. Aisha or Louise, you guys want to talk about who said they loved it? Who said it was that one of them they loved that song?
It's Carol.
Carol, okay. What does it make you think of, Carol?
It just makes me, it touches some really vulnerable spot in me. I think that whole notion of, you know, when you're not feeling like you have anybody to support you, or you feel really alone, that there are people in your life that always come to you in one way or another. I think In the Middle of the Night is kind of like a metaphor, and you can always call those people who wrap their arms around you, and your heart, my heart's in your safety. It just always makes me want to cry when I hear it. It's just it's so beautiful.
Oh, well, you guys are so beautiful in general. I mean, you're so talented. I mean, Your voices are like instruments, and you are masters at so many things, and I think that it's wonderful what you do. How did you feel when you got invited to the White House?
How did feel?
How did you feel? Like, you're getting invited to the White House. Michelle Obama, the first African-American, the wife of the president. How was that feeling?
Super, super exciting.
Super. Okay.
We had the privilege of doing some work with Senator Obama. So
okay.
He was familiar with the group, and Mrs. Obama was also familiar with the group. In fact, she said we were all up in her iPod. But it was a very, very exciting thing to be there, and honor, and just such an honor. And we were invited a month after they went into the White House, so...
That's awesome.
We knew they were on their mind, right?
Yeah.
They were in the forefront of their mind. It was an honor, and we did a performance for young people, which was also very great.
Yeah. I got the phone number now. I'm going to call her to bring her into the call here.
And Natanji's trying to get to you, too.
Okay. That's one. So now you guys... where do you see yourself next? I know you just recently worked with Alvin Ailey. Aisha, you want to speak about that collaboration?
Well, actually, Carol was a project director. It was a wonderful collaboration.
Okay. Can you guys hear me? It sounds...
Aisha sounds, distorted.
It sounds, a little distorted. Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Izai.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much. Yay. We got one more person. Technology sometimes gives you a little fuzziness. I think I got one more caller. I'm going to bring her on. Let's see. So, Dr. Barnwell, you are very accomplished, not just in music. You also play the violin.
Several of us played stringed instruments. I'm one, yes.
Yes, yes. And you are a speech pathologist?
Correct.
So how did you get interested from, you know, your singing, the theater, and the speech? Is that connected because of the theater interest?
It all came out of the music. That was my father's dream. He taught me for 15 years, and then I gave it up and decided I wanted to go into speech path. I was interested in deafness. And then long afterwards, after I finished college, I actually wound up interpreting a church service and singing, and Bernice Johnson Regan heard me, and so the group was looking for a new member and asked if I would audition. So they're all kind of tied together in a strange, bizarre way.
Right, right. I want to tell you, we have some people from Greece. They're just saying they love your music and your sound. For Justice Now, they're saying they've been listening to you since the beginning, and they just, you know, sending the love to you about your music. Let me play one of your other songs. This is a member of the world community. This was on Experience 101. This is a Grammy-nominated album. So that's a great, I mean, it's a children's song, but again, your voice is so, so beautiful. I'm an adult. I can listen to that, and you know, while I'm driving, while I'm working, you know, while I want to dance to it. I want to get up and move. You know, I mean, I want to tell people your website, www.sweethoney.com. Please go to their website and check them out. They have some upcoming dates. April 15th, they're going to be in Pittsburgh. April 22nd in Berkeley, California. They'll be in Philadelphia on May 7th at the Kimmel Center. So please check them out. Again, that's sweethoney.com. And
okay,
you can
Joy,
look at,
I'm going to – Joy, yeah. let me give the new one.
Okay.
Email address.
You got a new – okay, go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, it's sweethoneyintherock.org, O-R-G.
Okay.
The whole name, sweethoneyintherock.org.
You heard it here first, sweethoneyintherock.org. Again, sweethoneyintherock, all one word, no spaces, .org. Please check their website. You can buy their albums off of iTunes. You can buy them in most stores. If you don't know about it, you better ask somebody, as they say, and pick up one of their albums. One of my favorite songs is Wade in the Water. I saw you guys at the Academy of Music. I had taken my daughter. Also, Are Your Hands Clean? That's another great song. There's so many wonderful songs. I want to talk to Louise again. In terms of, you have, you're a founding director of a Bay Area a cappella quintet, Street Sounds?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So you guys are juggling so many things. You're doing this group, but then you all have your own unique individual things. Louise, how do you balance that in your regular life?
Well, first of all, I wasn't doing Street Sounds and Sweet Honey at the same time.
Okay.
I'm returning to Sweet Honey in the Rock. I returned after 25 years.
Yeah.
So in between that time, one of the things I did was form an a cappella quintet in the Bay Area called Street Sounds, which consisted of three women and two men.
Okay.
And so we sang music out of African American tradition, and I think there was a little difference in the play of the group. You know, someone said this to me once, and I think just in general, first of all, there were men in the group.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact of, especially in a time when you're watching television and you see all these terrible images of women in videos,
mm-hmm.
I love that we could have men and women on stage together in a very positive and constructive light.
Okay.
And, yeah. Also, you know, in the other time, I did a lot of theater.
Yes, all of you have done, yes.
Exactly. So I didn't juggle both of those at the same time.
No, no. I'm going to try to bring Natanji in. She just, I got her number now. I'm going to try to bring her in and see if we can get a clear connection.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, let's try that.
She's
here.
She's the author of two songs you played, Natanji,
yes.
Symposios. Uh-huh.
All right, let's try her here. So now you guys also worked on Beloved. The movie Beloved, and who got the call for that?
I'm not really sure how that how it happened, but I remember that Bernice was asked to be the music consultant, one of the music consultants for the film.
Mm-hmm.
And in some way, and Izai, you can, and Aisha, you can help me on this. It turned out that we were asked to be a part of the 30 women.
Okay.
And that we expressed that we actually wanted to be on camera. We didn't want to just, you know, go in and just, you know, sing the stuff.
Right.
Oh, it's ringing.
Yeah, that's okay. It's ringing now.
Oh, okay. All right. And that we actually wanted to be on camera. And that's what it worked out. And we were actually, the four of us were in it, Aisha, Netanju, Izai, and myself. And that was phenomenal. That was
And we
really
also are on the soundtrack of the film.
On the soundtrack
in the film. Yes, singing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Netanju, are you there?
I'm here. I was one of the
Yay.
Yay.
This is Netanju Bilotti Cassell, and she became a member of Sweet Honey in the Rock in 1985. She was also doing other things beforehand, and she studied in Dakar, Senegal. And tell us about that a little bit, being in Dakar and studying there.
I actually went there for a 6-week study trip.
Okay.
One of my teachers, I was the artistic director of a dance company in Boston at the time, and one of my teachers was going home, and we were studying the dance and music of Senegal, so I went with him. And around the 5th week, I was really interested in not coming back.
You didn't want to come back to America? Are you serious?
No.
That was me being sarcastic.
To me.
Yeah.
So those 6 weeks turned into almost 5 years. And
wow.
I studied dance and music. I performed. I worked with another woman who lives in New York. Her name is Marie Guinier. And we set up an organization called Artistes Échanges Africains, because we really believed in the exchange of culture and information.
Mm-hmm.
We worked with the theater and the radio. We had Black History Month going on in Dakar.
Wow.
It was really an unforgettable time of my life.
That's wonderful. I mean, you guys are, again, just so accomplished. And I want to mention the website again. There's a new website, sweethoneyintherock.org. That's sweethoneyintherock, all one word, .org. That's O-R-G. Now, you guys also, is Dr. Barmo still here? I know she had a practice she was doing.
Yeah, but I'm getting ready to leave.
Okay, well, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the small amount of time you had today for calling in.
You're very welcome.
Tell us what
thank
you're working
you for
on
having
today.
Us.
Thank you. Where are you going to work right now?
I'm getting ready to do a performance where I'm narrating Peter and the Wolf with the National Symphony Orchestra.
Wonderful. Good luck and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
I want to play one of your other songs. This is also from Women Gather, and it's Women Gather. So I want to play that.
Oh, some bullets find their targets, bombs can take you right on cue. Some in the hands of babies or officials and their crew. Claim the brother had a gun, she fit the profile in my book. Running, hiding, taking cover, didn't take the time to look. Somebody's mother, brother, best friend, sister, lover. The women gather crying, tears that fill a million oceans. It doesn't matter where you're living. The women gather crying, tears that fill.
Wow. So it doesn't matter where you're living. The women are
right.
Gathering all over, no matter whether you're in New York, you're in Paris, you're in Niger, you're in China. There are women who are gathering and crying because of the violence that's happening in their communities. That is, for me, very powerful. And as a mother, I fear myself for my daughter sometimes when she goes out into the world and, you know, some of you have children. How do you handle Carol, do you have any children, Carol? I'm not sure.
Oh, I have a son, a 24-year-old son that I raised here in New York.
Mm-hmm. And as a black woman, how did you feel about raising a son in America?
I think that I was very, very positive about it because I felt, I don't take what I'm saying very lightly at all. I felt a really strong sense of protection around him.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt as though even when I was with him, I was protected. And I don't know why I always felt like that. I felt very safe in our neighborhood. I felt like whatever he was doing, he was going to be all right. I tried to teach him enough things or tell him enough things or show him enough things on the in the media and just keep him informed about how he needed to carry himself
mm-hmm.
In this world, and that he may be a target at some point. Just because of the way he looks, he's tall and, you know, lanky and he's out there playing basketball and, you know,
right.
got his little jeans down a little bit too low sometimes. It's, you know, you have to remember all of those things and always be aware and always, you know, watch your back and be with good people who respect you
yeah.
and respect yourself.
That's
so,
the
so far,
the
so good.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
Any of you other, you have children, Aisha, Louise?
Yes, I have a daughter. She's grown. I'm actually in Atlanta now celebrating the birthday of my granddaughter.
Oh, wonderful. So how do you feel about raising children in America and in the issue of violence? And also let's talk about the issue of racism. I mean, that's a very powerful thing that affects African Americans all the time. I mean, people sometimes think it's over, but it's not. I mean, there are people constantly on a daily basis dealing with stuff in the workforce and relationships. Going to the store, being followed. How do you teach
right.
your children to be prepared for that?
Well, you know, a lot of, you know, racism and Indianism period is coming from a lot of fear. So I think it's very important to teach your children not to harbor fear or be afraid because it generates more of that. Also, piggyback on Carol, I think self-love and self-honoring the self and family and friends are vital, I think, you know, in raising my child, a lot of the time I was raising as a single parent, and, you know, my friends and my family were just vital, that community, having a sense of community around you, to talk to you, to keep
yeah.
something in your head, because you get out there, you can't be with a child 24 hours a day.
No,
you have to deal with the world. Yeah, they have to deal with the world, and we all know in the world there are great experiences and they are very negative experiences.
Right.
So keeping a line of communication so you make sure your child is telling you what's going on
right.
mm-hmm.
out there
mm-hmm.
or what
yeah.
things they're interacting, and then having some form of support. There were many times, Carol and I are best friends. There were many times, Carol can tell you, where, you know, I either didn't have the words or the energy or something, and you know, I would just send Asha right over to Carol with takeover.
That community, it takes a village
Absolutely.
To raise a child, you know,
yeah.
that's so
Absolutely.
Important. Definitely.
It's
and
not
one of the other,
a cliche.
And Natanju has a teenage son that she's raising, you know, her and her husband have in this world right now, too.
Natanji, do you want to talk about the issue of sexism, and you have a son. How do you teach your young male to respect females as he goes out into the world? That's a very important issue. Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's
the
right person.
It's interesting because we're in the car right now. He's just leaving his lacrosse practice, and I'm trying to get him to violin, which was some of the confusion with my trying to get on the line.
Oh, okay.
But I remember when he was in the fourth grade, and we got a call from the school, and hello?
Go ahead,
yes,
we're
here.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a problem because apparently there was a girl, now this is fourth grade, who was wearing thongs to school.
Whoa, wait a second, fourth grade wearing thongs. I heard that correctly, right?
Yes.
Wow.
He's saying he didn't do it. He didn't do anything, but I remember us having a discussion because I remember him being very innocent and asking me about it. And
mm-hmm.
he seemed to enjoy boys touching her and why and all of that. And so I remember a lot of conversations, having a lot of them a lot earlier than I thought I would be having them. But I was trying to explain to him that all girls were princesses. They just didn't all know it. because no one had told them, and no one was respecting them in that way, and that it was his responsibility as a young man, even starting in the fourth grade, to look at all these girls as though they were someone really, really special, as was he, being very special.
Mm-hmm. He is a prince, yes.
Yes, and just how much you respect yourself and the way you carry yourself and everything that Carol said and everything that Louise said, and Aisha and I, you know, are sisters. And so that's his auntie. And so between us and my husband and his family, and we're fortunate because Aisha and I, our parents are still in the land of the living, even though my husband, his parents have passed on. But just having grandparents and just that whole family network.
Generational. That goes back again. Yeah, it goes back to the village. And I think a really important thing you said was that all girls are princesses, not in the sense of egotistical, but in the sense that they are precious. We are precious as humans, I think, and we don't value ourselves enough. But one thing I realized, love begets love. If you are feeling love and like you said, not moving with fear, somebody mentioned about moving with fear, you bring in positivity. You draw positivity to yourself. So I just want to thank all of you for your words of wisdom. We only have about 2 minutes left. Again, check out their website, sweethoneyintherock.org, sweethoneyintherock.org. If you don't know, you better ask somebody. This is a wonderful group that you need to know about. You can go to their website. Again, they're going to be coming to Pittsburgh on April 14th, Berkeley, California, April 22nd. They'll be here in Philadelphia on May 7th. Get your tickets today to now. Go wherever you need to go and pick up an album, download them from iTunes. Thank you so much, ladies. I just want to wish you all the best in future endeavors and keep, you know, the movement, the positivity, the empowerment and support of so many people. I think we have a question. Hold on a second. One question. Good morning, caller. Good morning. Did you have a quick comment? All right. Well, I want to thank you guys. I want to thank all the listeners. Please check me out on twitter.com/joykeys. You can also become a fan of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys on Facebook. And stay tuned. 11:30, I'm going to be speaking with two wonderful authors about their book called Shifting, The Double Lives of African-American Women in America. And I want to close out with one of Sweet Honey and the Rock's songs that we open with, I Fly. And they talk about not just overcoming obstacles, but the power of love. And thank you so much, ladies. Have a wonderful Saturday.
You too. Oh, you too. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
God bless. All right. Bye-bye.
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 The day since you've been gone, it was just like a dream. I still can't feel it now. I'm feeling this baby. I know you won't come back. I know somehow you're here. I tried to settle.